Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, right in first show today. Conscious Corona coverage continues. That's hard to say very fast. I'm Nicole Marie Whitney. This is News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. One of my go-to people when poop starts hitting the fan is James Ray, speaker, author, teacher, and he's one of my people on my short list to go to quickly, as he's well-versed in the arena of maintaining consciousness and empowerment through adversity. James, welcome. How are you?
Thank you, Nicole. Well, I'm doing really well. I think we're living in very, very interesting times. I know we're going to talk about that today.
Interesting indeed.
that's kind of an understatement, right?
No, right? Give us an overview of your perspective of what this whole corona situation is.
Well, you know, there's so many unknowns, and let's go back to principle, which is always a good place to start. I firmly believe, and I have learned through my own life experience, and we've heard this so many times, but everything happens on purpose. There's not any accidents. I know there's a grander plan in this universe beyond all the speculation of, you know, economic reset or government, you know, underlying themes or any of those kinds of things, which everybody is speculating on right now. There's a bigger power in this universe than any government could ever hope to be. There's a bigger power in this universe than any economy could ever hope to be. And so, that being said, if we come from that perspective, maybe we can keep things in a bigger perspective, if that makes sense to you.
Oh, my God, it does. And I feel better already. You know, we forget that when we get caught up in things, you know. So that's a perfect place to start.
Well, it's easy, you know. It's really easy to be spiritual when you don't have to be. Right? It's really easy to believe in God and spirit and a grander plan and love and peace and connectivity when you don't have to be. And, you know, Nicole, you know as well as anyone what my life has been through. And we get to test what we really believe. We get to test what we're truly made of when, as you said elegantly, the poop hits the fan. That's a technical term, by the way, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's really, until we're forced to take a stand, we don't know that we stand for anything. You know, we can say we stand for something, but we don't really know what we stand for until we're forced to take a stand. And so, you know, we have to keep a bigger perspective. And I'd like to come at this from that principle first, because, you know, if you make your practice follow principle and you understand that principle precedes any kind of powerful practice, then you'll stay in the right space and you'll be empowered. If you do it the opposite, which a lot of people do, they put practice before principle, then you can get into fear and stress and all the chaos that's going on in our world right now. You know, I think the greatest virus we're confronted with right now is not corona. The greatest virus we're confronted with is the mind virus. And yeah, it's highly contagious. And the mental virus is highly contagious, and it is deadly. It really is. And we can talk about biology. We can talk about so many things here today, and I'll kind of let you take it where you'd like for it to go. But, then, you know, everything affects everything.
Well, that's what was so interesting about this, to see. I think this is what's throwing people into a tailspin the most is seeing how quickly and seamlessly the entire world was pushed into, you know, lockdown, closed borders, everything stopping, and so well self-policed. You know, we're all in this together, and stay home, and be a responsible adult, and it's just so... I mean, I can't go across the border from here anymore. I used to go, you know, get my gas in the States every other day. Can't do that anymore. It's just completely closed.
Yeah, well, and I'm, you know, let me also say that we do need to take precautions because the virus is real, you know, and a lot of people have, you know, seen the videos I'm shooting and, you know, have listened to my messages and all the things that I'm posting. And they say, well, you know, James is saying the virus is not real and James is saying we shouldn't take precautions. That's not what I'm saying at all. Not even close. You know, the virus is real. It is a real thing. Now, let me just give you some statistics, or your listeners, some stats that'll maybe ease their mind. And don't say virus, more deaths, and all those things. But if you'll dig and you'll do your own work, which most people won't, or just let me do it for you and listen. But a couple of days ago, The Hill posted this, about 205,000 cases. Here's what you won't hear in the media. 82,000 people have already recovered. Now, you know, we get viruses all the time. There's a new – corona is not new. It's called COVID-19 because there was a COVID 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so forth. Now, the reason that this is so scary is because it came from animals. It was passed animal to animal until it made the leap to man. And we don't have any antibodies to fight it yet. But the people who have gotten it and beat it do. And so you know – let's keep it in perspective. Again, I'm not saying that you want to get it. I'm not saying you shouldn't take precautions. Of course you should. But let's keep it in perspective. Just to put it in perspective, Nicole, do you remember swine flu?
Yes.
I mean, swine flu was just in 2009. There was 60.8 million cases of swine flu just in the U.S. alone. In 2009, and there were 12,469 deaths, 300,000 people hospitalized, and nothing shut down.
Exactly.
And that came from animals too. So again, I'm going to go back to this principle again and again. The biggest virus we're dealing with is a virus, and it's real. And I keep making these disclaimers, but it is a virus, and it's real. But the biggest virus is the middle virus. And, man, it spread like wildfire. And it's more deadly. I have a friend who is a Harvard MD who went through Harvard Med School on full scholarship, super bright guy. And I talked to him and said, look, the stress and the fear is going to kill more people than the corona does. Because what we do when we stress and fear is we suppress our immune system. And biology knows this. When we suppress our immune system, it cuts us off from the healing forces that we have within our bodies. And what biology now tells us is over 90% of illnesses in today's environment are caused by stress. 90% of cancer is lifestyle and belief related. Because the physiology of the body is based on chemistry, and the chemistry of the body is driven by the mind and the feelings. You with me on this? And so, you know, what I'm saying to people, I'm not saying don't take precautions. I'm saying calm down. Do the things necessary to get into that state, particularly if you have a spiritual practice, particularly if you have espoused to be more awake, to prove that you really are.
Good point. Let's extend it out into the other effects this is having, you know, economy, millions of people out of work, that whole scene and trying to stay, you know, in a good place.
Yeah. Well, it's tough. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, this has affected me too, because, and my wife, Bersaba, because we're in the field of growth, empowerment, and awakening. And unfortunately, what happens is when, I'll use your term again, the poop hits the fan, when something really catastrophic comes along and spins us out, the very first thing to go in most people's budgets is personal improvement. Now, it should be just the opposite.
Mm.
You know, it should be just the opposite, and yet it's not. And so I'm affected economically. My household is affected economically because everything's come to a screeching halt. And you know, we have done, we're continuing to do every single thing we can to support people during this time. And so we've upped our video productions. We've upped, I'm writing, you know, a mini blog to my email database every single day of encouragement and support and some of these facts and figures that they're not finding. I'm writing mini blogs on social media every single day. I mean, we're busy and we're not getting compensated for that, not monetarily anyway. So I'm not here to be Pollyanna. And you know, we've talked before, Nicole, you know, it's not like I'm sitting on a cash cow. I mean, I came out of prison in 2013, $20 million in debt and homeless. So it's not like, you know, I've just got bundles of funding. And so I'm saying all that to say, if you're dealing with economic and financial issues right now, I get it. And what we all have to do, me included, is to understand what we stand for and to keep a bigger perspective. And this is an opportunity for those of us who do that to reinvent, to adapt, and to move into a new way of being. Now, look, we've had in the spiritual circles, we've had talks of the planet is in transition, consciousness is in transition, and we're moving into a new way of awakening and being. Well, okay, so let's say this is part of it. What would happen if we develop the faith? This is what has to happen for that new way to emerge. Because every significant breakthrough is preceded by a breakdown. And there has to be a breakdown of the old system for a breakthrough to occur. Let me just give you some environmental issues. How many times have we heard, you know, people in the circles we run talk about the environment, Nicole? And oh my God, we, you know, and scientists have been telling us for decades that we've got to do something about the environment and that we're killing our planet. Well, we're really not killing our planet. We're killing ourselves, because if you trace history, we've gone through five major extinctions, and the traditions maintain that there's a sixth coming, and, you know, we're contributing immensely to that. Why? Because we're only focused on economics, and we've been warned and warned and warned and warned. But guess what's happening right now? Let me just give you a couple of different ways of looking at this. I was researching this yesterday and writing to my email database. China is the largest contributor on the planet to carbon emissions, and it's been estimated that they have decreased their carbon footprint by 25% just over the last several weeks. Right? School closures, stay at home. You know, if you're a parent, my heart goes out to you, because I can imagine. I saw a post on Instagram this morning. There was a woman who looked like she was at least 85 years old, and it said, "Meet Cindy. She's 32. She's homeschooling her children. Hang in there, Cindy."
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, stay-at-home edicts have reduced traffic in Seattle, New York City, the Bay Area. Rapid transit in the Bay Area is down 25% just since February. Now, is that good for the planet? You bet it is. Is that good for the environment? You bet it is. Is it good for humanity? You bet it is. Because, you know, would we have ever done that unless we were forced to do it? No. We wouldn't have. Let me give you some more food for thought from a different perspective. If we can resist the temptation to watch more TV, all right? I mean, so many people right now are not seeing this as opportunity. When I was in a 10 by 12 cell for 2 years, I decided to make it opportunity. I read and studied and meditated and journaled for literally 14 hours a day. And I came out a better man, out more awake and aware instead of being bitter and angry. Perspective. Well, just suppose all of us would take that time now instead of curling up in bed and sleeping more and watching more Netflix. What if we would take the time to say, hey, I've been gifted with an opportunity, and yeah, it's uncomfortable, but all growth and change is uncomfortable. And we read more, and we connected more conversationally with our loved ones, and we grew more. We could reduce the negative impact as well and increase. You know, one of the things I'm passionate about, Nicole, is decreasing human suffering and increasing happiness and fulfillment. And what we know is that the most recent research tells us 16.2 million people are depressed, and most of them are on antidepressant drugs of some sort. Alcoholism is rampant. You know, every 40 seconds someone commits suicide in our world. With the things we're doing aren't working. And I don't care if you want to blame it on the economic factor. There's certainly that's part of it. But you know, come on, folks who say that we're spiritual and connected and awake and aware. What we're doing isn't working either. It's not working fast enough because look at the tough time for me too. But if we're willing to take the time to invest in ourselves more fully and get ready for a future comeback in a new way, few will do this, but I encourage all of your listeners to be one of those few. Airlines have already canceled more than 200,000 flights. Now, it's estimated that an average air flight creates 0.9 metric tons of carbon dioxide per person, per flight. Now, to put that in perspective, a ton is equivalent to about 2,000 pounds per person, per flight. Air flights down 200,000. Is that good for the planet? You bet it is. So, when I were out, we still haven't found toilet paper, by the way. And we're not hoarding. You know, here's the other thing. Let me encourage you, and if Bearson was here, she would tell. That's my wife, by the way, guys. And newlyweds, we just got married in December. But, you know, if she was here, she'd say, be kind to each other. That's her big thing. Be kind to each other. And, yeah, you know, she almost got tackled at Whole Foods over a jar of mayonnaise. And we don't even eat mayonnaise. She was just in the wrong place at the right time. And literally, it's nuts. And I know you've experienced this, and you as the listener. But please, don't hoard. You know, take what you need because we need toilet paper and we can't find it. And we're not hoarding anything. We literally cannot find it. And Beersheba is talking about going Persian old school, something to do with a bucket in your hand. And I'm just not down with that, Nicole. I'm sorry. You know, we're going to find some toilet paper, you know, come hell or high water. But, you know, we've got to keep our sense of humor. But the reason I brought her up is because we were out and she said two things. First of all, can you feel the tension in the air? And the answer is yes. I mean, all these people with these surgical masks on, which I posted on Facebook, a long post, copy post, just who said, stop wearing masks. And by the way, this is not my suggestion, guys. I'm just quoting what he said. Stop wearing masks because they're not the right mask that you're wearing. And if you take them off wrong, you have a higher likelihood of getting something than if you don't. In the meantime, you look silly. And he said, you know, doctors and nurses are walking around the ER and they're not wearing masks. This thing, as far as we can tell, is not airborne. It's only borne through water droplets, which means you have to get directly sneezed on, or someone sneezes on their hand and passes it on your hand or something of that nature. So it's not airborne. Measles is airborne. Measles is deadly. And we don't, you know, we're kind of okay with that. And again, the reason this is a big deal right now is because it comes from animals, and we haven't yet developed the antibodies, and we don't have a vaccine for it yet. And so the only way that you can become immune to it is to catch it. And then your body, if it's strong, will beat it. And 82,000 people, and maybe the number's moving, but maybe even more now, have already beat it. And so according to the World Health Organization, most who get it have a mild illness and they recover in about 2 weeks. There's an increased risk over 60, again, from the World Health Organization. And most people who are dying, which the average age of people who are dying is 81 years old, and I'm not minimizing that. My mom's 82. But, you know, the average age is 81, and those individuals already have pre-existing conditions. And it's an upper respiratory disease, and any doctor will tell you any upper respiratory disease is potentially deadly, including influenza. I mean, people die of the regular flu every single year. So hopefully we can keep this in perspective. The world needs leaders right now, not followers who are freaking out. I'll come off my soapbox and throw it back to you, Nicole.
All right. So that kind of brings us full circle, because the fact is that way more people die from the regular flu every year than what's happening now. And you mentioned, you know, swine flu, SARS, all those things. You know, there's been many instances of things like this, but never has anything been shut down like this. So I like how your perspective on, you know, the great big shift we've been working towards for decades. Do you think it's more directly reflective of where we are in our growth in ready to make major changes?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Where we are in our growth and letting us make the changes. Help me with that.
Well, we've been talking about systems breaking down in a new way, a better way coming into play for a long time on this network and mm-hmm. everywhere. And do you think the bigger picture here is that, like, is this the new norm? are those things starting to happen now?
We don't know. We don't know. I happen to believe, again, going back to principle, and, you know, not just believe because it's comfortable to believe, because it's not comfortable. It's not supposed to be comfortable. If it's comfortable, it's not great. You know, our greatness comes from being centered in discomfort. And so from principle, though, in my life story, you know, and let me go back to my experience. You know, everything melted down in my life in a matter of 60 days in 2010. You know, I lost three people that I cared about and I dearly loved, and I write about all of this in my new book, The Business of Redemption. I mean, it's kind of an autobiography coupled with life lessons learned. And I lost three people I loved and cared about and I knew very intimately and personally. That broke my heart. I then lost my company I'd worked to build for 20 years. I lost my life savings. I lost my home. I lost my reputation. You know, I lost most of my so-called friends and colleagues. And, you know, everything came crumbling down. And that was really, really hard. you know, really hard. I mean, I went from Beverly Hills to solitary confinement, literally. You know, I was charged with intentional harm. I was, you know, found not guilty of that, but I was found guilty of negligence and missing things, and I take responsibility for that. I mean, it could have been done better, and I did miss some things, and God knows I wish I hadn't have. But nonetheless, the point being is that looked really, really bleak. And in 2013, when I came out of prison and I was standing in the middle of the barren desert of Arizona, I was 54. I was in horrible physical condition. I had periodontal disease. I'd lost 40 pounds I didn't need to lose. I was homeless, and I was $20 million in debt. And I was alone. And so now fast forward to 2020, and I live in a beautiful condo. It's modest, but it's comfortable and it's nice. And, you know, I'm doing what I'm here to do. And I'm married to the most amazing woman on the planet, who I didn't even know in 2013. And so, was that bad or was it good? Well, the reality is, it's a matter of perspective. But I wouldn't change where I am today for anything. And so my reason in bringing that up here is because if you're apparently in a really tight, bad spot right now, I get it. I really do. And there are things that I'm going to encourage you to do so that you can adapt and you come out stronger, better, and in a much more fulfilling place. You know, and that's what it's all about. I mean, to think that the economy is going to continue to grow endlessly and improve endlessly is vast illusion, because nothing does that. There's a law in this universe called the law of rhythm. Seasons come, seasons go. And if you look, you know, I told you there's already been 5 major extinctions on this planet, and the traditions maintain, the mystery schools say there's going to be a 6th, called the 6th sun or the 6th turning, and maybe this is it. I don't know. Maybe it's not, you know. But nonetheless, something has to happen. But we have to be willing to pay the price, and that's why, you know, the word redemption, that's my new book, The Business of Redemption. I chose that because the word redemption says gain. It's properly defined to gain or regain something by paying the price and clearing of a debt. Talking about this new day dawning, and okay, how's it going to dawn? Because would we have ever stepped back? Will we ever step back and take care of the environment unless we're forced to do so? No, we won't. Will we ever change our system until we're forced to do so? No, unfortunately, we won't. I mean, we'd like to think that if we, you know, the Maharishi effect, and we get, you know, enough momentum going, enough critical mass going, that we can change the system. And there's, you know, research to prove that's true, but I don't know that it's going to happen fast enough that way. Maybe we need some real significant emotional events and rattling of the cage, and it hurts, and it's frightening for me too, and that's the price of our redemption. You know, how much longer can we continue to chase money at the expense of meaning?
So what are the things that we can do to maintain coming out well on the other side?
Okay, great question, and thank you, because, you know, one of the smartest guys on the planet right now, in my opinion, is a guy named Harari, and he is Yuval Harari. He's a historian and a futurist, which is kind of an interesting combo, professor at Israel University, And I've read all of his books, and he's made a tremendous impact. And he talks about where we're going and what we're faced with. And so he's made a tremendous impact on me for the last probably 5 years. And so real simply, let me give you a couple of quick things. And this is important about Corona. What we should be focusing on right now is not avoiding Corona. What we should be focusing on right now is boosting our immune system. Because a strong immune system is orchestrated to fight off anything it needs to fight. When we are in fear, and stress is a derivation of fear, and stress suppresses the immune system, then we're more likely to get that which we fear. And it's like, Job said in the Old Testament, that which I fear the most has come upon me. Or Napoleon Hill said back in the 50s, that which we fear or revere will begin to clothe itself in the most convenient physical form. And so we've got to get out of fear. We've got to get out of stress. We've got to start focusing on not avoiding Corona or anything else, but boosting our immune system and our health. And Harari agrees with me on that. Health has to be job number one, because we're going to go through chaotic times. Now, the important thing to understand, and Bruce Lipton is really good at this, is to understand, and he's a biologist, as you might know, Nicole, you may know him, I don't know. But, he says that chaos is not random. And it's not. If you look at chaos theory, there's order in chaos. Random is something different. Chaos has a higher order within it that we just most often cannot see or perceive. And so therefore, we think it's random and we think everything's, going to hell. And it's not really. It's got a higher level of order. And so if you look at the work of Ilya Prigozhin, Nobel Prize winning, Ilya Prigozhin, he says that when new energy comes into a system that it cannot handle, it will go into chaos. And it will do one of two things. It will either destruct and die, or it will reorganize with higher capabilities. And so that's what we have the potential to do, and we've got to be healthy to do that. So right now, the number one thing that I'm going to encourage, I encourage all of my coaching clients to do, and I don't care if it's a CEO or a high-performing entrepreneur, it doesn't matter. The very first thing, and Nicole, you've been through my leadership program, and you know how much I focus on health and physiology and nutrition and all of those things. Why? Because unless the vehicle is healthy and strong and the immune system is strong, you're not going to be able to handle. We need to be eating healthily. If you look at the research in the blue zones, people who live 100 years or more in this body, they eat more vegetables than they do meat. They don't drink alcohol. They don't smoke. They don't smoke anything, cigarettes or pot. They don't. They exercise every single day. And so those are the things, if you're a smoker today of anything, you're in a higher likelihood category of getting corona because it's an upper respiratory disease and it damages the lungs and your lungs are already compromised. So we've got to pay attention to health. That's number one. And when I stood in the deserts of Arizona with periodontal disease and 40 pounds lost and in horrible physical condition, I knew, because I had eaten no vegetables and no fresh fruit for at least 2 years. None. They don't provide that, you know. The state provides you with pancakes with a side of bread. because they have a specific calorie count, and the fastest way to get there is through starch carbs. Yeah. But it's not healthy. You've got to eat live foods to have more life. And so I'm not here to tell you to be a vegetarian. I'm not qualified to do that. But I'm here to tell you that people who live longest and healthiest and most vibrant and strong lives eat more vegetables and fruit than they do meat. All right? And they exercise daily. That's the first thing. Second thing is that you have to find your unique gifts, what I call your unique genius. Now, Nicole, you're obviously really good at being a host. I mean, that's you've got that ability, and you've been in this for I don't know how many years. And I'm good at doing research and delivery. That's what I'm good at. But I find so many people are, and I also just to toot my own horn, I'm really good at taking complex ideas and simplifying them so they're easy to apply. Because as you know, I've studied quantum physics and philosophy and psychology and the mystery schools and shamanism, and I am able to find the commonalities and make them easy to apply. Those are my unique. I came in. I find so many people in today's world, and it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility, because you've never been encouraged to find your unique gifts and genius. From the time you're in school, you've been encouraged to follow the money. You've been encouraged to follow the market. You've been encouraged, you know, to go where the jobs are going to be. Well, guess what? They may not be. And so, you know, according to Forbes magazine, 50% of the jobs are going to be gone in 10 years or less. Now, even if they're aggressive with their number, even if it's 30%, that's still a lot of people that are going to be displaced. And so what we've got to do is we've got to find, I believe, every single one of us comes into this lifetime with a gift from God, a unique gift, what I call unique genius. And guess what? You know, Howard Gardner from Harvard backs me up on this. He says, everyone is a genius in at least one area, if not two. Now, you're not born a genius. You have to work to become that, but you have to one area, if not two. But you've not been encouraged to find that. Well, this is your time. Find it now. When I stood in the desert, and I don't know if you saw that first interview I did with Piers Morgan, he said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. And that was genuine. I did not know. I did not know if I was going to come back into leadership and performance and empowerment, or if I was going to go, you know, do something different. The fact is, I've been given a gift from God, and I don't see it as a career. I think it's a calling, and that's a big difference. And when you find that, then you don't quit. So you've got, the first thing is healthy. Second thing is you've got to learn how to reinvent and adapt. And you do that by finding your unique gifts and genius. You know, Stephen Hawking told us that the true measure of intelligence is the ability to adapt. And the most recent research tells us that every single one of us is going to change careers at least five times over the balance of our work life. I don't like this. I don't like it either a lot of the times. But the fact is, not liking it is not going to change it. And so here's your opportunity. If you're homebound, leverage it. Ask yourself, and here there's a process I use with my coaching clients I call Begin at the Beginning. And what that is go back to your very earliest memory as a child and ask yourself, what have I always been good at? What have I naturally been attracted to? What do I love to do even if I don't get compensated for it? What productive activity would I involve myself in if money were no issue? And productive is the key word, because a lot of times before I added that word, people say, you know, I said, what activity would you involve yourself in if money was no issue? Well, I'd just go to the beach and drink margaritas. No. No, you wouldn't. That's not why you're here. You're here to provide service and value. Service is the rent we pay for the privilege of life. And so once you find that, number two, then, and you reinvent yourself, and maybe you already know what it is, and maybe your reinvention is how you go about that. And the next thing is you have to find your purpose. You have to know clearly what your purpose is. And my purpose, you know, I recite it to myself every single day. I already shared it with you, to decrease human suffering and increase happiness and fulfillment. That's why I'm here. Because most people that I talk with, many of them are making 6-7 figures a year, and they're not happy. And they're like, okay, well, I've reached the top of this ladder. What's next? And purpose is always about contribution. It's not about acquisition. It's about contribution. It's giving something to other people. And when you do that, you automatically give yourself. And then I'll pull the fourth one from Harari, you know, who says we're going to have to learn to be happy and fulfilled with less. Most people don't want to hear that. But the fact is that, you know, the projections tell us that the millennials are the first generation in the history of our current world that are going to make less money than their parents, by and large. And so, you know, let's just say that this whole economic system is resetting. And I don't know. Again, we could speculate all kinds of things about Corona and what's going on. But let's just say it's resetting. Well, we have to learn to be happy and fulfilled because with less, potentially. And, you know, all the way back, I don't know if you've read my book, Practical Spirituality, Nicole, but I wrote that in a tough time back in the early 2000s, and I went through a really tough time, transitional time. And, you know, I had a whole chapter called Less is More. And, you know, Beersheba and I have been in the process of downsizing for the last 7 years. And we still have a ways to go because, you know, I lived in a 7,500 square foot estate in Beverly Hills that was all furnished with designer furnishings. And when I went away, I stuck it all in storage units, and I came out with three storage units of stuff for a 7,500 square foot estate. And what the heck am I going to do with that? You know? And so I've been methodically getting rid of that and giving it away. And I've even, you know, sold some of it when times were financially tough and so on and so forth. And we still are in that process because it's not about the things and it's not about the money. It really isn't. It's about the meaning and it's about the purpose and about the fulfillment in life and about really living. And so that's the fourth thing is we're going to have to come to terms with the economy cannot continuously grow. That's just nothing continuously grows. Everything grows to a zenith and then it declines. That's part of the laws of this universe. And so in a reset, maybe we need to look at the growth of our own awareness. Maybe we need to look at the growth of our relationship with nature. Maybe we need to look at the growth of our relationship with spirit instead of how much more money am I going to make next year. That's four things right off the top of my head that we could be doing right now to set ourselves up. And it's you know, I know no matter how much I talk about it, it's a tough sell. You know, I dramatically reinvented myself in the last 7 years when I came out 2013 in the desert, and I decided to come back into sharing and teaching what I had learned. I dramatically changed my message. If anyone has followed me, they would know that. You know, it's not about achievement, 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 like it once was, you know, all the way back to The Secret, and no disrespect, I'm grateful for that, but, you know, visualize what you want and create it. I mean, those of you like yourself, Nicole, who have been with me personally, face to face in one of my events, know I haven't talked about the law of attraction for 7 years. Not that I don't believe it exists, it does. And yet I wanted to talk about things from a new perspective, and I'm doing that. You know, my whole message is about increasing happiness and fulfillment. And what's it going to take to do that? Well, it's going to take healthy. It's going to take finding my gifts and genius, because we're always happier when we're doing something that we're good at. It's finding my purpose, how I can contribute to the world and provide service and value. And then, you know, at the end of the day, becoming happy and fulfilled with less. I don't need more stuff. You know, I probably need less stuff. Isn't it interesting that storage units are a huge business? You know, I don't have enough junk in my house, so I have to rent another place to store junk that I don't ever look at or use, just in case I need that junk. I mean, Bearsify and I have gone through two major sweeps of our closet in the last 2 years. I've given away suits that were brand new, and I'm talking about, you know, designer suits that I used to wear back, you know, when I was on the road all the time. I don't need those things anymore. So give them to somebody who can benefit from them. Anyway, hopefully you get the point.
Yes, and the list is helpful. What I'd like to do is circle back to the original point where we started today, where you were describing the power above, you know, the government and all this energy. How do we get more grounded in that foundation of knowing?
In the principle?
Yes.
Well, I think you know, a couple things. There's research from Harvard University by Christakis and Fowler that is documented in a book called Connected. And they talk about, and we've heard about this, but they've actually scientifically measured it and proven it. They talk about the power of community. And we don't need a like-minded community. You know, let me blow that meme out. and we see that a lot. We need a like-minded community. No, we don't. I mean, people waiting at a bus stop are like-minded. They're going in the same direction to the same destination, and that's not going to, they're waiting on the same thing, and that's not going to get you anywhere but the mall. What you need is a growth-minded community. You know, this whole like-minded meme, you know, I'm going to blow it out. You know, I probably won't because it's too big. But the reality is, I want you to think clearly. People who are like-minded tend to not grow because they all agree with each other and they all, you know, stroke each other's ego and they go to the same places and do the same things. What you need is a growth-minded community. You need people who are going to challenge you, people who are committed to evolving and growing, doing the work. And change is hard, let's face it. That's why most people never do it. So now more than ever, as this corona, you know, situation drives us more into silos, it's never been more important. You know, I have an online group that meets once a week called, you know, we call it hashtag Project Stay Home, because a lot of people are driven into their homes, and we met for the first time on Saturday, and we're meeting again on Thursday. We're meeting once a week online via Zoom, and, you know, is that as good as face-to-face? No, it's not. You're never going to replace face-to-face, but it's what we have right now. And there was a young lady there that goes, man, I'm single. And I'm, you know, I'm at home all by myself. And she got emotional. And she goes, it's hard. And if you're one of those people right now, I get it. It's hard because we all are hardwired as human beings to connect. To connect, you know, person to person, heart to heart. And the best way to do that, you know, is a hug. And the best way to do that is to be shoulder to shoulder. Well, you know, right now, we're not really enabled to do that. In a lot of cases, if not most. But we've got to find a way to be part of a growth-minded community that continually focuses on opportunity, you know, versus crisis, and continually supports each other and continually, you know, picks us up when we fall down. You know, I don't know if you saw the video that Beersheba and I posted last week on social, Nicole, but I mean, we're very transparent. You know, Beersheba started us off by saying, you know, you ever get up one of those mornings and you're just really off right out of bed, you're just in, you know, you're just not feeling right. And we're not putting up any fronts that were perfect, you know, but the point was, is that she was a little off in the morning and then I got a little off in the afternoon, but guess what? In the morning I helped pick her up and in the afternoon she helped pick me up and get me focused. And we all need that right now. We have to have it, because if we self isolate, which we're being asked to do, and particularly if we're isolating with people who are not growth minded, it's even tougher. You know, there are people in relationships right now who are self-isolated and they don't even like each other. And again, my heart goes out if you're one of those people. So you've got to find a community of people that you connect with and stay plugged in. I mean, listening to News for the Soul on a regular basis, you know, reading great works. We, you know, Beersheba and I watched the movie Invictus the other night. We don't watch that much TV, but Invictus is a story of Nelson Mandela and how he brought, you know, his country together. And it was very inspiring, incredibly inspiring. Those are the kind of things that we need to be doing on a continual basis right now. And that'll keep us plugged into principle. And then, you know, the second thing we have to do, and maybe even before that, we have to get off of the news. I'm sorry, you know, and you know, Nicole, I've been a big advocate of not watching the news for decades, and even more so now. You know, I never have seen a news clip about Corona, and yet I know about it. And here's the principle that I learned a long, long time ago. If something's really important, you're going to hear about it. People say to me, well, don't you have to be informed, James? Yeah. You have to be informed, but you don't have to be inundated. And when you're constantly inundated, that which you surround yourself with, epigenetics, the prefix epa means to rise above your genetic programming. Epigenetics tells us that environment is at least 40% of what you do in your life. 40%. And then environment is existing internally to your body. So when you're in stress and fear, you're creating a chemical environment of dis-ease in your body. When your surrounding external environment is full of negative news and all this fear and mayhem, you're creating a disempowering and a dis-easing external environment. And so if you want to rise above your genetic programming and what you've been handed, you've got to control your environment. And that's, you know, that's another really important thing to do, back to your question about how do we stay plugged into principle. Third thing I'll give you, and then I'll throw it back to you, is that, you know, now is the most important time, in my opinion, is to have some kind of mindfulness practice. You know, Beersheba and I have a daily mindfulness practice, and you can choose to sit. You know, I studied with a Zen master for many, many years, and, you know, Zazen in Zen is just sitting. You can choose to sit, but there's a lot of different ways to be mindful. You can practice a walking meditation, just being totally present. You can be in a very immersed state of love and be totally present. When you're exercising and working out, which Blue Zones and going all the way back to what we already talked about, you have to do that. You need to work out at least every single day. You need to do something to move your body. Our bodies are meant to be mobile. And right now, so many people are laying on the couch and binging on Netflix. Not healthy. when you exercise and you're really giving it your best, you're not worrying about, you know, the bills or the rent or the corona, because you're so present with what you're doing. So there's a lot of ways to be mindful, and sitting is just one of those. But we have to have that right now, because that gets us out of our head and into the field. Hopefully that's helpful.
That is very helpful. Unfortunately, we're totally out of time. We're right at the top of the hour. Maybe we can pick it up in a part two as we go forward, as things develop. But thank you so much for being here today.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I really appreciate the work you're doing, and I know you'll continue doing that. And thanks so much for thinking of me, and I hope this has been helpful to your listeners as well.
I know it has. And you mentioned Bruce Lipson. Talked to him many times over the years. We've reached out to him for updates, so hopefully he'll be on soon. Lots of other speakers to come, and another show right behind us here. Thanks, James. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, lots of love. God bless.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hey, how are you?
Next